hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you're with us today, and we are continuing in our wonderful study of the Gospel of John, very meaty section of the Gospel of John, from chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, which, as I've told you, happened between the Last Supper and the events of the Garden of Gethsemane. So we are continuing there, and today we've got another wonderful passage. So, okay, now we should pray. Here we go. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the chance to study your word today. Use it in our lives, Lord. Encourage our hearts, dear Heavenly Father. And from your word, give us the fortitude that we need, Father, to keep pressing on for you without compromise, without backsliding, without giving in to the world, Lord. But help us stand our ground for the Lord Jesus Christ, and use what we're going to study today to help us with that decision every single day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what'd you say? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Now, John's Gospel, where we left off in verse 18. We finished verse 17. Here we go. Verse 18. Jesus speaking. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Now that's as much as we're going to do today, because all of that centers on one kernel of truth. And you know what we like to do is pick out one kernel of truth that you can take home with you and that you can remember. If I give you 10 kernels of truth in a message, nobody can remember any of them. But one, that's the way you teach the Bible. You take one truth and press it home. And then the next week you take another truth and you press it home. One per message. That's what we're going to do today. Now let's go back and look what Jesus said. He said, if the world hates you, and you know what? This is a first-class condition in Greek. You're like, what does that mean? Well, there are four classes of conditional sentences in Greek. And a first-class condition, you can almost substitute the word since for the word if. In other words, it's assuming the if, the speaker is assuming that the if is true. He's not assuming it's not true. Okay? So, assuming it's not true, someone would say, if you could fly, which you can't, then you would blah, blah, blah. That's a different class of condition, because the if is not assumed to be true. But here, in a first-class condition, it is. You all understand what I'm saying? Okay, so since the world hates you, in other words, because they do, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus is assuming that the world is going to hate us. Jesus is assuming that the world is going to be antithetical to us. Verse 19, if you were of the world, which you're not, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, I don't know if any of you saw the movie The Matrix. That's a really interesting movie. You can see, I don't care how many times you see it, you can always scratch your head and go, wow, what is this thing trying to say? It's a very interesting movie. But if you saw it, you know, there's the Matrix, which everybody is just asleep, and they don't know that they're in the Matrix, you know. And then there's these people who have gotten out of it, Neo and Morpheus and Trinity, there are these agents in this make-believe world that the Matrix runs, who attack these folks that have gotten out of it every time they get the chance. Now, they don't attack, these agents don't attack anybody in the Matrix. If you're in the Matrix and you're not aware of what's going on and you're not trying to work against the Matrix and you're being a good citizen, cooperate and graduate kind of citizen in the Matrix, they don't mess with you. Why should they? You're not a problem. But the people who are not of the Matrix, but they have been chosen out of the Matrix, those are the one the agents go after. Now, this is just like what Jesus is saying. The world is the Matrix. The people who are coming after you are people in the Matrix who hate Christ, and the devil and his angels themselves are coming after you. Why? Because you're not of the world. Jesus chose you out of the world. And now you see the evil of the world, where when you were in the world before you came to Christ, you didn't see the evil of the world in the same way you see it now. In fact, you probably were part of the evil in the world. At least I certainly was. You understand what I'm saying here? God has chosen us out. And that's why the world and the devil and his demons are out to, they hate us and are out to get us. Because we are an irritant. We're like a burr under the saddle. We are enemies of the world just by the fact that we are believers. We are enemies of the world and of the devil. So that's what Jesus is saying here, and it makes perfect sense. He goes on to say, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. We, the servant, are not greater than the Lord Jesus. If they have persecuted me, which they have, since they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my word, which they haven't, they will keep yours also, which they won't do. That's the message for today. And you know, Paul says the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Paul said, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will suffer persecution. You can't live, can't try to live a holy life and have the world not react to it. It's like I said, it's like a burr under the world's saddle. It's an irritant just to have you around, just to see you, everything about you convicts the world of its own sinfulness. And that's why one of the reasons they don't want you around. They don't want to have that that conviction of sin around. And so Jesus said you should expect this. It should not come as a surprise. It should be anticipated that we're going to suffer if we try to stand for the Lord and try to live personal holiness here in this world. Now, that's important to know, because what that means is when the world comes after us, or the devil and his demons come after us, that this is normal. We should not say, God, what are you doing? How can this happen? Why are you letting on? No, this is Jesus saying, you know what? This is expected. This is why they threw Jews out of the synagogue who believed in Jesus all the way back here in the Gospels. John chapter 9 says that rabbis had already agreed that if anyone confessed Christ, they were to be thrown out of the synagogue. Why? Because you're not of the world, and the world hates people who are of Christ. So, this is important to know. Now, that's as far as we want to go in the scripture, but we want to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Come on now, here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah. And you know, the fact that the world hates you is a good sign. If you were not walking in personal holiness, if you were not trying to live for the Lord, if your very presence and behavior was not convicting the world of its sinfulness and threatening the devil's kingdom, they would leave you alone. So if people are persecuting you, making fun of you, ridiculing you, doing anything they can to make your life horrible because of your stand for Christ, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. So if that's happening, you know what we need to say, don't you? Ha ha ha. Yeah, we do. How sweet it is. You say to be persecuted? Yeah, because it means you're really not of the world anymore. Say it with me. How sweet it is. Yeah, how sweet it is. You know, I've told you before about Bob Eckhart, the man who led me to Christ. And he came and stood on the streets in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, college town, right outside the old post office on Franklin Street, and he would give out tracts. He came every Saturday for, I don't know, probably 6 months in the early spring and into the summer of 1971. You say, how was he treated? Ha ha, what are you kidding? Are you kidding? This would like be taking somebody who's in favor of the Israeli invasion of Gaza and sending them to Columbia University to stand on the corner and give out pro-Israel flyers. Ha ha, how do you think they would get treated right now at Columbia or many, many places in America? Not well. He was not treated well. People cursed at him and threw his tracts at him and insulted him. And it was terrible the way he was treated. Why? Was he bothering them? Was he assaulting them? Was he saying bad things about them? Was he any kind of physical threat to them? No. Why did they hate him so badly? His very presence there convicted them of their sin. Maybe some of them had been church growers, church goers growing up with their parents taking them to Sunday school. And they had rejected that, and his very presence reminded them of that. And irritated them and made them angry. Or they were just left-wing liberals and they hated God and they hated the gospel and wanted nothing to do with it. And his very presence was, as I said, like a burr under their saddle. And then there were others who completely disagreed with him about Jesus and were absolutely irritated that he was out there, and on and on and on. I felt bad for the poor guy. And I would take his tracts and take them home. I didn't really read them. In fact, I had a little stack of them on my bureau where I was staying. I didn't read them, but I just felt bad for the guy. I felt like, well, at least I can do is make him feel good and take one of his tracts. You know what? After I got saved and started standing out there with him, guess what? The same thing happened to me. Now, here's the point. Before I came to Christ and I walked by him and I stood there and talked to him and things, nobody ever bothered me. Why? Because I was still of the world. I still sold dope. I still smuggled dope. I still smoked dope and dropped acid, and everybody in town knew me as a huge drug dealer, and the police actually had a warrant for my arrest if they could find me, and I had a big old afro, and I wasn't a threat to them. They never bothered me, even though I would stand there and talk to him sometime. But once I came to Christ and I was no longer of the world, then when I would stand out there with him on Saturdays and pass out tracts, suddenly, the very people who were fine with me 3 weeks before hated me. Remember what Jesus said here. Listen to what he said. Verse 21, John 15. But all these things they will do to you, watch, for my name's sake. They don't really hate you or me. They hate Jesus. On he went, because they do not know him who sent me. They hate God the Father. They hate Jesus. They hate godliness. They hate holiness. They hate anything that is not part of their wicked, sinful, profane system, world system. It's not you. You could switch sides and come back to the world and they'd be fine with you. But everyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 3, will suffer persecution. Now, what do I want you to take home with you today? I want you to take home the fact that this is normal when you stand up for Christ, that people hate you because you're not of the world. They hate you because you represent Christ, who is not of the world. And because they hated him, they're going to hate you as his follower. This is normal. And when we stand for Christ, we need to accept it and expect it and anticipate it. And we need to be able to tolerate it and still stand strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. Still stand strong and not be discouraged by this. I remember one summer when I was in college, I'd just come to Christ, so it was the summer of 1971, that late spring. I hitchhiked up to Kiamisha Lake, New York, because I'd worked up there a couple of summers in the hotels up there, in one of the Borscht Belt hotels up in the Catskills, and it was a very lucrative job. Well, while I was up there, they wouldn't hire me back. The guy in charge of the kitchen at the hotel where I worked decided he didn't like me, and they wouldn't hire me back. But while I was there, before I came back to North Carolina, I went over to Kiamisha Lake one day, and I had a bunch of tracks with me, and I'm standing on the street in Kiamisha Lake. And this woman, very elderly woman, had a cane, came walking by me and took one of the tracts that I was handing out. And she looked at it for a minute, and she turned back to me and she said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, what do you mean? She says, what's wrong with you? Get out of this town. She said, this is a Jewish town. Don't you know that? This is a Jewish town. And we don't want you here. Get out. She said, or I'll have you arrested. Get off the street and get out of this town. It's a Jewish town. I didn't want to get arrested. But I stood there anyway and just kept giving out tracts and said, ma'am, I'm sorry. She didn't have me arrested. But was I scared? Was I shocked? No. I expected. Bob Eckhart had taught me to expect to get that kind of treatment. So, that's what I want you to take home today. You stand for the Lord, you're going to be persecuted, mistreated. People are going to laugh at you. They're going to ostracize you. They're going to take it out on you at work. They're going to take it out on you in the neighborhood. They're even going to take it out on your children. I mean, this is sad. At school, and some of them are going to be just absolutely vehement in their hatred for you. Some will be but some will be vehement. Hey, what choice do you have? Stand strong for Christ. Take it like a woman. Take it like a man. Take it like Jesus took it. Because it's not really you. It's the Lord Jesus that they hate. But you represent him. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, encourage our hearts today to stand firm for Christ. Lord, even if we're persecuted, even if people take it out on us, even if they take it out on our family, Lord, even no matter how mean, how nasty people are to us, and even if it gets physical in some countries, this gets physical, even to the point of death. Help us stand strong and help us, Lord Jesus, not to waver, remembering that the servant is not greater than their master. If they persecuted Jesus, if they hated him, they're going to do the same to us, and it's an honor for us to suffer on his behalf. So, Lord, give us that perspective from the scripture today, and embolden and strengthen our spirit to stand for you no matter what the consequences. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen.